When you consider requests to the foundation, do you say, what would Alan want or Mary want? Do they sign off in your head as you think about this?
Yeah. I always think of that. What would they want us to do?
You know, as you were fortunate that you met them, also they are fortunate that you were left behind as they passed on, and it was all in your hands. Because you're the only one, there isn't anybody else in the family that would have managed a foundation or have the expertise for it. I guess I'm complimenting you now, but it's kind of worked out that way. Here is somebody that Alan met in his early 20s, and today as we sit here June 30th, 2009, that relationship is still paying off for him.
Well, I hope. I know the grandchildren, I'm their trustee. I've known them since their birth. I know the son. I am not his trustee anymore, but it's because of some legal issues that came about at Mr. Chapman's death that one trust stopped and one started. But I was his trustee up at that point. In fact, I asked Mr. Chapman one time, Alan Chapman, I said, you know, you're making me co-trustee of your son's trust with a bank, and he and I are within 1 year of the same age. I said, you know, I don't want to create a problem for you there. He may not want me to be his trustee. And he said he couldn't care less. I said, well, if it becomes a problem, I'll resign because I don't want to create a rift there. Never been a problem. I've talked to him on numerous occasions. In fact, when he comes to Tulsa, and he does once or twice a year, he'll call me and we'll go to dinner. The grandchildren I'm much closer to because they're younger. I've been their trustee since their birth and, you know, went through their college years and their high school years and buying them a car and all that stuff. And it's been fun.
So they are children of Junior, Alan.
Yeah. Grown now. The son is, I'm going to guess, 41, and the girls are both late 30s, both married. Son's never married. One girl lives in San Diego, has a son, and the other daughter and her husband live in Tucson. They have two sons.
Since this is a part of education and we want people to generally know about the Chapman name and this money, I mean, this foundation and the money that comes through the foundation will live forever and ever.
The foundation is set up in perpetuity. There's another trustee that we've appointed, and we have the right to terminate it if we want to give it all away and the trust is gone. But if we don't do that, this trust goes in perpetuity. And hopefully we'll continue to grow, and it has grown. Now, the last year and a half hadn't been too good, but I know we're ahead of the national average.
Because in your training, as you started out as an accountant, you had to learn to be an investor.
Yes.
Did the foundation, invest in stock market? Was it real estate? Was it a combination?
Mostly stock market. We call that equities. We have had real estate, never any income-bearing real estate. We bought raw land and then sell it off as it goes up in value. Not a large percentage. Basically, the way we got into a lot of equities is we'd sell these oil properties to companies and do a tax-free stock exchange, one corporate stock for another. So we've ended up with a lot of international oil stocks, and they've done well.
Students listening to this, I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to students or tell them about your life or what they can draw from this. I mean, here's somebody who started out in early 20s, and through your personality, you were endeared to Mr. Chapman. Some student might listen to this and say, well, I want to get into this business. What do you say to these students?
To get into the business like I'm in, it's not something you go apply for. It's something that builds over the years with confidence and association, and you just kind of grow with it. You don't go apply for a job as a trustee of a foundation. And I don't know how you would apply to a wealthy individual as manager of his business. He picks that person, and it's usually someone he or she knows. I remember when Mr. Chapman passed away. I probably shouldn't say this, but I will anyway. Mrs. Chapman, 8 months after his demise, was down on her yacht in Miami. I needed some paper signed. I was the executor of his estate. I was co-executor with her. And, of course, she's never here. She's not doing any of the work. Ralph Abercrombie was involved in the business time. He was an attorney, had been with NBT. As executor, I had hired him to be the attorney for the estate. So he goes with me, and we go down to Miami. We get on the yacht, and I've got a lot of papers to be signed for the estate. She has to sign with me as executor. And at the time, the fee on that's not too bad. It's set by statute, and it's a large estate. But we're sharing it 50-50. I remember sitting down with her after we signed all the papers, and I looked at Mrs. Chapman. I said, you know, Miss Chapman, there's a considerable fee that's going to be paid out of the estate to you and I as executors, but I want you to stop and think about this a minute. You're not even there. You're not involved in what we're doing except me bringing things down here for you to sign, and I tell you about it, and we discuss it. I said, I really think it's a little unfair for us to share that fee 50-50 when I'm doing all the work. She says, well, what do you think it should be? I said, I think it'd be more fair at 80-20%, me 80, you 20. She's getting a large portion of the estate anyway. She thought about it a minute. She said, that sounds fine to me. I said, Ralph, would you draw those papers up, please? And then we finish, and I look at her, and I said, you know, Mrs. Chapman, you and I have been partners in the oil business. You and I have this little company, and we're partners. And I said, it's been very good. I said, I don't know what you're planning to do now with your wealth. If you want to stay in the oil business, you just want to sell out, or what do you want to do? And I said, it's not my business. But I said, you may not want me to continue to do for you what I did for Mr. Chapman. And I said, that's not a problem. We will always be friends. I said, I wouldn't be where I am and I wouldn't have what I have if it weren't for your family. So I said, if you don't want me to continue on in this capacity after we finish the estate, all you have to do is tell me, and there's not going to be any hard feelings. She looked up and she says, no, Don, I want you to continue running my business just like you did Alan's. I said, okay, I'd be happy to do that. In fact, I would like that. I said, well, what do you plan to pay me? And she looked over and she didn't have any idea what I was being paid. She said, just ever what Alan was paying you is fine with me. The same deal you had with him, you can have with me. I said, we're now partners in a different capacity. And I continued right on through until she passed away. This was 1979.
Did you ask her that question just to be nice? You probably knew what her answer was going to be, but it just needed to be spoken?
It needed to be spoken, and I didn't want her to think that I need to do this for him. I mean, I don't want to have him mad at me. So I made it easy for her.
Yep.